This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Mind Muscle Project, welcome back to this episode. I'm very excited about this episode because the date is nearly the start of March. We are at the end of Feb. My watch is saying February 20th, 2021. And we are pretty much on the eve of opening up Locker Room. So we've learned a lot in this process, and we're very excited to get into essentially the 10 things you don't expect when opening a gym in 2021, which are new. There was new stuff for us in that, you know, despite running gyms for 7 years, there was new stuff in there. And I think there's some really valuable insights. And then there was just some reminders in there, some stuff that we already knew that was like, okay, yeah, I'm glad that we had that in place, or we spent some extra time doing that. But before we dive into the full episode, guys, we do have two amazing sponsors. If you are involved in the gym industry, right? If you're listening to this, if you're a personal trainer, if you are a gym facility manager, if you own your own gym, these are the partners that matter to you the most. The first is this partner called Torq. Now, we've mentioned this before. Maybe it's the first time you've heard of this company. So Torq, T-O-R-Q-U-E. They're a fitness equipment company, but they've created a product which has solved a ton of issues. Now, if you've used sleds before, so pushing sleds or prowlers in the past, you know they're an amazing tool for fitness, right? Very easy to use, very easy to coach, very good stimulus, very easy to throw in. Obviously, your facility model has to have, I guess, you know, you have to either have PT, because, you know, only one person can use it at a time sort of thing, so you can't have...
Well, like F45s use them.
Yeah. Yeah, so
you can use it in the
group. But
you've got to have that circuit. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to have that style or PT or semi-private or something like that to use it. Most CrossFit gyms, it wouldn't make sense to push prowlers in a wad. But if you are using a prowler and you've had the issue of, I need a sled track, or my prowler only works outside on the cement, but then it gets all scratched and beat up, and you know, you push it on the rubber, and then, you know, some days you clean the rubber and it doesn't move properly, or it's got heaps of dust and it moves really quickly. It's really uneven. It's an inconsistent process, and it's just not fun, and it wrecks your rubber as well. Torq have created a sled that solves all these issues. It has wheels. Okay, so it has big tires, pumped up wheels, so it rolls over any surface. It's the same.
Well, what's amazing is that for most gyms, having a sled track doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because you're using up so much of the good floor space for just sled.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You don't need a sled track anymore.
No.
It goes anywhere.
Anyway.
She can go off-roading on grass.
Yeah, anyway. And what's beautiful about it as well is it doesn't require the plate changeover that was necessary before. So Torq uses a brake system. So what it does is just increases resistance on the wheel. So you don't actually need to interchange plates, which means when you and I are doing a workout, Raph, say we want different resistance, now it's not a 30-second plate changeover, if not more, depending on how easy it is to get the plates on and off. It's just a flick of a switch, literally a flick of the switch, and we can increase the resistance as we go. So amazing piece of equipment. We first used it in Mark Bell's gym, and now we have it at the Locker Room and at Creature. So definitely go check it out, themindmuscleproject.com/Torq, and we will have a discount there for you. That's T-O-R-Q-U-E, themindmuscleproject.com/Torq. And then, of course, guys, everything we're going to talk about today, everything we're going to help you with, has gone through the filter of MP, our business coaches, our mentors. I think that in the world of business, mentorship is essential. You need people that have been there before, that are an objective sounding board to your ideas and what you want to do, and people to push you, people to back you, people to inspire you, people to help you along the way. You might already have a mentor in some form. You might have maybe a member of yours, or maybe a family friend, or maybe one of your parents. Maybe they are that mentor for you. Maybe you do use them in this way. But what if there was someone you could pay to be your mentor that would specifically help you with building your gym, that was experienced in working with thousands, tens of thousands of other gyms over the last 12, 13 years? Well, that's MPE. That's what they solve for us. So I always get value every time I jump on the call with them. And I always think to myself, for the gym owners that are not on this call, I'm like, I don't know how you're going to be successful without people like this, because we credit so much of our success to what they've helped us with over the years. So if you guys want to jump on the coaching, and I just can't see how you can't do it at this point, you need to jump onto their coaching if you don't already. themindmuscleproject.com/MP. And they have coaching in there for PTs that want to do their own thing, people starting gyms, established gyms. They have all different groups and all different levels. So they don't just throw everyone in together. You have to, you know, build up to reach certain groups, which is great, because when you're first starting out, you're surrounded by people who are also starting out, and you all have the same struggles, versus be like going into the gym, going in for a workout. You work out with Sonny Webster, Olympic weightlifter, to do a session, and it's your first day snatching. You're going to have different problems, different weights. It's not going to make sense, but...
Definitely different weights.
If you join in and you're both using the dowel rod with someone else, the three of you using the dowel rod, learning technique for the first time, it makes more sense, which is why there's different problems at different stages. There's always problems, just different problems at different stages. MP understand that. They group everyone together accordingly. So definitely go check them out and sign up if you haven't already. At least have a call with them. TheMindMuscleProject.com/MP. All right. So I think a good place to start this is just outlining, hey, this is 2021. This is not when we started 2015. It's the game has changed. The game is completely different. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast, the idea came to me, is because two conversations. End of 2019, maybe start of 2020 before the pandemic had hit. Two guys that I had never met before, that are PTs at a local Globo gym, quite a really good Globo gym, long-time PTs, they're great coaches. I got connected to them through a mutual friend. So he asked for a favor. He goes, hey, a good friend of mine is thinking about opening a gym with a colleague of his. Can you go speak to them and maybe share some insights with them as to what it's like opening a gym? And what's interesting, it was like looking back in time. It was like seeing the younger version of myself and going, okay, I see what you're excited about, because they're like, you know, we want to build this amazing facility where we blend wood with cement with metal, and we're going to run a design through the wall, and then we're going to integrate, you know, holistic mindfulness, you know, classes with strength training. And it just reminded me that when you start out and you're passionate and you're excited, you know, you put all the energy into all the wrong things. And that's just because you don't know what it's like to own a gym. So you don't know what you don't know. You just know about coaching. You just know about training people in many ways, or most people that open gyms. And so what you find out is you're like, oh shit, I've gone and put all this money and all this time and energy into the wrong stuff. I didn't even build the right business model. So that was the first conversation where I thought, man, there's just so much for so many people still to learn. It's hard, right? Because we're so far down the journey, so far down the path at this point, we forget. And then on an MPE call this week, we actually had a long-time gymmer, someone that has been running gyms nearly as long as us. And he's got a great facility and it works really well. And he's grown a lot. And he's profitable and he makes good money. But he was like, I'm looking to upgrade my space. Mm. And he goes, I know now it's just not the same as what it was 5 years ago when I was looking to start a space. It's not like, cool, let's find some little warehouse. Mm. Let's strip it out. Let's put some barbells in. He's like, I understand that there's like, you know, I'll need like a really nice front desk now. And I'll need like showers. Like the standard has lifted. And I feel like this is important, this show, because the same advice and the same ideas, I guess the landscape of gyms globally, you know, 5 years ago, it's grown so fast. It's grown so, so fast. 5, 6, 7 years ago. So now the advice that we give you is, I think, more of the modern context and things you definitely have to consider. And undoubtedly, like any market that gets more saturated, the standard has lifted tremendously. It's lifted exponentially over the years. It's very hard to do what you did and open a facility like you did 5, 6 years ago today. So with all that being said, we're going to get into, yeah, all the 10 things that you didn't expect when opening gym in 2021.
Yeah, I think this is important because, you know, you can, when you're thinking about maybe starting a gym, you focus on a lot of like the positives. And I think that often, you know, you do your business model on Excel, you know, you get Excel rich straight away. And it's not until you really get into something that you get into all the hair of the actual scenario. Yeah. And I think gyms being a brick and mortar, definitely they exist. You know, yeah, it's never as clean and as perfect as when you first set out. So what we want to do is break some of those myths and tell you the real shit that's going to happen today.
Especially if, for a lot of people, it's the first time running a business. Yes. You don't know your strengths and weaknesses as a business owner. And so hopefully this will help you find out. So the first unexpected thing when opening a gym. Now, this would not apply if you are buying a gym, an existing facility.
It can still apply.
It can.
Because you never know what the previous owner was doing.
That's true.
And time changes.
That's true. That's true. It can still apply. It's still relevant. But likely, if you're just buying a facility that's operating successfully, it's got a good operating history, and you've bought it, and you're not changing the brand and the model or the layout or anything, you're just operating as is, sort of a turnkey model is what they call it, may not apply to you. But very likely, in most scenarios, this will apply to you. And this is the cost of setting up. So this is the stuff that's involved with council. That they use something called a development application in Australia. I think there's other words for it in around the world. And basically what that is it's this application process where you're saying, okay, I'm going to do this. All right. So firstly, at least in Australia, different areas of different cities and different sections of different suburbs are zoned for different uses. So there might be a residential zone. So, okay, we can only have cafes and apartments and terraces here. And now in this zone, okay, we can have high rises here, but we can't go above, you know, 10 stories. And then it's like, okay, in this one, we can have retail. So we can have shops, we can have gyms, we can have this. Other one might be light industrial. So it's like, okay, we can only have manufacturing, we can have this, that. So everything is zoned for different things. So first of all, you got to pick your right zone. Now, within those zoning, sometimes you have to reapply. If something was a cafe before, a restaurant, you want to turn it into a gym, like we have a locker room, you need to restart the application process again. The people involved in that application process, you're looking at architects, all different certifiers, the people checking the fire and, you know, the wet fire, the dry fire. You're looking at builders. There's so many different people involved in this process. As I'm telling you right now, the reason I'm telling you this is because it's very costly. Most people don't build it into their costs. And for us, for Locker Room, we're looking at something around $40,000 to get that process completed. Now, some people have budgeted $75,000 to build a gym from scratch, and they might be turning a restaurant into a gym. And it's not saying your situation will exactly be ours. You can do some of this process yourself, but likely you will need help. But you're looking at a range between $15,000 to $50,000 to get this across the line.
I think you also want to take into account that it's not guaranteed.
Yeah,
this also is just an unknown. You
exactly.
know, you just, oh, like, yeah, someone will say, yeah, you'll probably get it.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't mean 100%.
Yeah.
You know, you might not get the approval all the way you want it. Maybe you, like, can't have the shower or the bathroom that you wanted. You yeah. can't have, you can't start operating early in the morning. You can't train late at night. You
can't
got
have
limits.
Music above this level.
All different. It's almost, you know what, in fact, it's guaranteed you're not going to get everything you want.
Yeah.
That's the truth. So it's going to turn out different to how you think.
Exactly. So that's an expensive process that most people don't build into the cost, and they don't consider that it is going to be different to what they expect. Okay. And in Sydney, we are particularly strict. So I know that they're more relaxed around the world in other areas. But yes, in Sydney, we are particularly strict. So definitely something for Sydney goers to consider. So the second thing is building salaries, building your salary. So owner salary into the business model. I think this is definitely one thing people forget about, especially if they're already taking a salary for a job that they'll be leaving, yeah. is they just don't really consider, okay, what are my lifestyle costs? What are lifestyle costs I'm willing to maintain? It's why some people end up going, oh shit, now I've got to sell my car. Now I've got to sell my house. Now I've got to move into the gym. These are just things that don't get considered in the beginning. I actually remember the first piece of advice I got from my dad when we were starting a gym. He was like, remember to pay yourself first. Mm. And it's good advice because what it is, it's like, hey, you still need to eat. You're the one that's driving the ship.
Particularly you back then.
Exactly.
You were skinny, bro. You really needed to eat.
I really did. He's looking at me. He's like, oh, shit. You ain't got much left, boy.
You really need to eat, look.
Fill yourself up. So, yeah, it's just a bit, something simple, something to consider. So, find whatever that number is. Maybe it's, you know, you're going to live as lean as possible. I can live on $500 a week. I'm going to grind it out. That's great. Maybe you decide, I love my lifestyle. I'm not willing to give it up for $1,500, $2,000 a week. So, just consider those things, build the salary into the model when you get into it. And so leads us into point three.
Well, which I'll add just one thing to it, which is often the way people look at it incorrectly, which is you might be like, okay, it's going to cost me $100,000 to start the gym. But it might also cost you 5 months before you can start paying yourself because there's like the setup of the gym and this, and like you're working full time on it, and then it's growing the membership for it to cover the fixed cost of the gym, which, you know, often takes people a few months. So it might be 5 months without a salary and you were earning $8,000 a month before. So really, you know, it's an extra $40,000. It's not 100, it's 140.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, you need to pay yourself and that's what you missed out on.
Yeah.
So you basically need to factor that in into the cost of opening the gym.
Yeah. No, it's a really good point. Okay. So third point is accounting skills, CFO skills that you either need to have yourself or you need to have someone behind you, like an accountant or a hired gun CFO style, agency or person. To help you with the business modeling and the running of the business. Now, there's a whole lot of accounting that goes on behind the scenes in every small, medium, and large business. And it's really the thing that, now it's not part of my role, but obviously I know the work you put into it, but it's definitely the one thing in all of business that employees never see, I would say, all the work that goes in that accounting side of it, which is obviously why you're supported by an accountant. You have your Excel sheets and spreadsheets that you use with our business model. But I would say it's the last, like, you know, employees see the day-to-day running of things. They might even see the profits or the revenue or the member counts. There are definitely numbers they see, but the full behind-the-scenes spreadsheet modeling is definitely the stuff they don't see, because honestly, it's not relevant to them. It's not that important. It's you using all the tiny data points and the information and the algorithms to bring together, here are the four metrics that I want my employees to know about that are important. So this is definitely something that if you don't have these skills, if you're not well-versed in Excel, and I know, Raf, you've done like Excel courses and stuff like that, you need to hire like an accountant or a CFO or have someone with you like that can help you out.
Yeah, I think you just got to build it in the start, because often this is a cost people feel like you can save at the start. You're like, oh, I'll get that. Once we're up and running well, I'll get someone good to help me out with this.
Yeah.
That is pretty common, but you have to be careful, because usually the most unpredictable time is the beginning.
Mm.
You know, so for us, going to locker room is like, you know, we have like a week by week plan, because this is when, you know, you've got less members, there's more things that can go wrong, there's more unpredictability, so you've really got to be on top of it. Otherwise, you're just going to miss payments.
Yeah.
You know, so this is one that, yeah, I think you're better off if you don't have the skills yourself, just paying for it early on, even though you might not think you have the money for it yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then really what ties into that is business modeling. I think that's something that, even if you hire an accountant for a day to just look over your business model, someone that does, you know, gyms, or someone that's worked with gyms before, they'll definitely point out some flaws for you that you probably didn't consider as well. They're like, oh, okay, cool, you actually can't pay people that much. Or it's like, oh, have you considered the churn rate of typical gyms is this much? Or do you know actually cost per acquisition for a new client? Just stuff like that you, all the terminology, all the jargon around this accounting side of business that you're not well-versed in. I wasn't well-versed in. You weren't that well-versed in. I'd used Excel before. I'd done statistics and data at university, so I've had some experience with that stuff, but it's a totally different ballgame once you're getting into it. And honestly, it's... in some ways, it's cool. Like, it's fun. It's the numbers side of business, which is the maths, which is, you know, what makes things work.
Another good one I think you can do is if you can find someone that maybe already has a business a little bit similar to yours, or an accountant maybe that, yeah, deals with those types of businesses, you can run it past them and say, is this realistic? And often they're going to look through and be like, ah, you've not considered these 9 things.
Yeah.
Or like, this number's not realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which is, you know, invaluable. Saves you so much time. Okay, so next thing is noise complaints. Now, obviously, depending on your gym style, you will create noise. That's just how it is. I mean, even yoga studios create noise, right? They have music. Even Pilates studios, they make noise. Everyone creates some level of noise. Now, some people don't create much noise at all, and then CrossFit gyms create all the noise in the world. So that's really, I mean, it's an obvious one, but you will be making noise. Don't pretend like you won't be making noise. So ahead of time, what I would suggest before you open the doors, have a good understanding of, okay, what equipment am I going to bring to my gym? Because if it's there, people will use it and it will make noise, guaranteed. Get an idea of your surrounding tenants. Are you in an industrial park and noise isn't going to be an issue? Are you underneath residents and now you've got to, you know, consider the residents? Are you above residents? You've got to consider residents. That might, you know, require some soundproofing. I know at Locker Room, we've got a section of the gym which is fully soundproof. That costs 8 to 10 times more than the regular flooring. So just small things like that, you will create noise. You need to consider how much noise that is. Don't think that it's nothing. And all noise, even just running around jumping, it creates vibration that moves through the building. So just all these things to consider, which sometimes you definitely don't.
Yeah, and what you can forget is that you can be all sweet when you open and then the neighbors can change.
Yes.
So you have to consider the long term as well. Like, yeah, right now your neighbor might be cool with it because he likes the gym and he's going to train with you, but then he might get kicked out. He might move out. And then you've got a new neighbor that doesn't want to hear a sound.
Mm.
A museum opens up right now, right? Anything can happen. Yeah. And then it turns bad for you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that can be the end of your gym.
Yeah.
That really can be the end of your gym. Okay, so number 5 is your tech platforms, which are involved in basically the whole running of your business. Now, on the surface, when a gym looks really smooth and it looks really clean and easy and it runs like magic, very likely they're using a ton of tech platforms in the background. I would say gyms that are cluttered, that are all over the place, that don't run smooth, that have admin issues, that had delivery issues, those are the gyms that probably don't use enough tech. So just to give you an idea of the list that we use across the gyms at Creature and even at Locker Room now, is so we'll use obviously a website platform like Squarespace. We'll use like a communication platform amongst our team like Slack. For the clients, they'll use programs like TrueCoach and Wattify. We'll obviously have, you know, stuff like music, which is Sonos. We'll even use a product like Zapier, which connects all your apps and all your online processes together. We've obviously got a CRM capture and a mailing list, which is, you know, we use ActiveCampaign. So you can see, even on the back end, we use like Xero. Everyone uses like accounting software like Xero. So
you got all the Google emails, Google Drive set up.
Google Drive set up.
It honestly never ends.
Google Suite. There are so many platforms that you need to know how to use, get your head around. And we haven't even talked about the marketing side of things yet. You know, Google AdWords, you know, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, all that sort of stuff. Facebook and Instagram as well. The marketing on those platforms, you know, learning the business side of those platforms. There's so much tech that's involved with business now. You need to know and get your head around all of them. I know horror stories of people that have had websites where they're capturing leads, but the form's not connected to their email. And they haven't captured, you know, they're like, oh, we're not getting any business. And they look at, you know, 2 months later, they look, oh, well, my form hasn't collected, or the data's been going nowhere, hasn't been going to the right email. And so they've missed 2 months worth of leads, you know, 50 leads down the drain. So just small disasters like that, you know, they can really screw you up. So make sure that you are across all the tech that you need. And if you don't know what it is, this is where someone like MP is so good, right? They just come in, they go, cool, you need all these tech platforms, right? Tech is super important in business these days. It makes things a lot smoother and a lot easier to run your business.
Okay, number six, we've got sales skills. So I would probably say these days, if you're going to go open a gym, I would not open it until you have got to a bare minimum on the sales skills. And that doesn't really mean doing a course. It definitely just means you have to just get a job where you make a bunch of sales.
Yeah.
And you've got all those sales into your belt. So it doesn't take long. You know, I would just go get some sort of sales job in a gym, or, you know, be a coach in a gym where you're making sales, and get that skill under your belt before you go and open it. Because once you open the gym, it's like too late. Mm. Like, you've got to be firing, you know, from the outset. I mean, you could maybe get away with it, but you're just leaving a ton on the table as well. So yeah. it's an expensive time to be really learning the ropes, is when you've got your own gym. So I just think you've got to get to a minimum standard before you open your gym.
Yeah, absolutely. If we had started with being sales-minded and have sales skills, I would be a lot further ahead than we are today. We spent 2 or 3 years learning how to make sales. But that's just because we never really did them before.
You spend like a year or two learning that it's important.
Yeah.
And then you learn, spend obviously the next few years trying to get better. I mean, it never stops getting better. This is one you always improve at.
Yeah.
You're always working on. You're always trying to improve. But there's a bare minimum that I think you want to go in with, which can only come from making real sales.
Absolutely. Yeah, you need the confidence. There's no amount of books or reading or courses or movies that you can watch to give you real sales skills. You have to be making sales. You have to look someone in the eye and be like, cool, this is what it costs, pay me now. And they say no, and you're like, okay, let's work through this together. Doing that, doing the reps there is critical to growing a gym. And it's just, unfortunately now in 2021, this is why I made it relevant, is if you don't have these skills, the gym market is so competitive. Price points are moving up and up and up, which means you're taking more and more money off people. It's taking a bigger percentage of their disposable income. You need to have these sales skills. So it's absolutely essential in running your gym.
You should get eaten alive by the gym across the road.
Destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. I'll tell you right now, there are people all the time that say, oh, you know, I inquired, but like I didn't really get a good vibe when I first spoke to them, or they didn't get back to me on time, or I've contacted them 3 or 4 times. That's all a sales process. And because we have ours airtight, then we pick up all those things that other gyms just lose because they're not airtight on that process. Cool. Number seven is you want to add at least 50% minimum to your bill costs.
Yeah, and I mean, this is not just for gyms. I think this is like a general principle. It's like things always take longer than you expect, and they often take more expensive than you think.
Yeah.
Right? So this is one that, yeah, whatever you think you're going to bill out your gym costs for, it might be equipment. It's obviously all the setting up of the gym. It might be like, you know, getting rid of what was previously at the gym. It's everything that goes into like going from where you are now to actually opening your doors on your first day. I think a minimum, you want to be prepared to add 50% to that. You could even say more. I'm not saying it always is going to add that cost, but you at least need to be ready for it.
Yeah, I think the one mistake I definitely made in the build out of Locker Room was not being there enough in the beginning. And the problem with that is because, I'll give you a perfect example, right? I was going on site to fix or basically to discuss the height of certain lights. Now, when I got there, first of all, what I'd realized was the placement of the lights was wrong. Second thing I realized was this was in the middle of our floor getting laid. As our floor was getting laid in the soundproofing section, I realized even though in my plans I had only made it, you know, a certain size, when I stood on it, I was like, wow, this is not big enough. And I stood there. And if I had not stood there and said, hey, I think we need to make this bigger, let's get more materials, they would have cut it and glued it down the next day. then I would have gone in. And he goes, it's lucky you told me that today because it would have been a nightmare to rip it up tomorrow. It would have cost you a lot of money. So just being on site, you know, what you lay out in your head and what you lay out in your plans never is exactly how it is on the site. So you need to make sure that everything and all the build, if you're going to be there during the build, you know, you are there. You are there often and you're making sure that everyone's on the same page and it's all working together. Now, you might have a builder, which is a much more expensive way to do it. But because I was the project manager and I was managing the trades, it did require me to be there more often.
I think also take into account that, you know, trades, and you're going to obviously need trades and stuff like that at your gym. They're generally going to give you a best case scenario. It's never going to get cheaper as the job goes on. It only gets more expensive, not because they're bad people, but yeah, they're going to give you the best case scenario and then things will come up. Maybe things you hadn't told them, or you need something extra, or something in the building was more messed up than they previously thought. So there's always going to be variances and it's only going to get more expensive.
Yeah, just like I made like little mistakes. They're like, oh, okay, cool. So we'll put the speaker here. And I was like, actually, that's the wrong spot for the speaker. I actually need another speaker over here. They're like, cool, yeah, we can run the wires to it. But like, that's going to be like extra $1,000. You're like, oh, okay, cool. That was $1,000 gone. Even like, oh, do you want... I started making decisions on the spot, which is wrong. I should have said, okay, give me 20, 30 minutes to think about it and then let me get back to you. And so as a result, sometimes he'd be like, okay, do you want all the lights on one switch or do you want them all on separate switches? So I was like, just put them on one switch. And then 30 minutes later, I'm thinking to myself, actually, when we do photo shoots, you probably want it on different switches because you want different moods and different lighting settings. I call him back. He's like, okay, well, it's too late because we just like laid the cable in a different way. I can fix it. It's going to cost you $1,200. I'm like, fuck, all right. Cost me $1,200 just because I was making snap decisions. And, you know, you've got two functions of the brain. You've got the fast decision-making and you've got the slow decision-making. So just give yourself time before you make these decisions. So that's just one thing to consider. Now, point number eight, which fits in really nicely with what we just talked about, is getting financing for a gym. So this is all kinds of financing. This is borrowing, lending. You know, our gym is, you know, it's basically seven figures to open this gym. And it's just, so it's a serious build. And, you know, I'm not saying that every gym in 2021 needs seven figures to open. That's definitely not what I'm saying, but that's not what we were planning. And therefore, we've had to get financing for different aspects of the gym. Now, there's so many options. There's buy now, pay later, which are great. There's heaps of interest free, which is awesome. A lot of that's out there. A lot of it you personally guarantee. So if you default on any of that stuff, they will come after your house or your assets, your car or your bank account or whatever, which could lead to bankruptcy. So you take that risk there. But I feel like most people that are in entrepreneurship, especially opening gyms, are kind of willing to go to that worst case scenario of being bankrupt because that's kind of what it takes. It's what most entrepreneurs are willing to do. And that's why employees are employees sometimes, because they go, okay, I'm not willing to make that decision. I want to play it a bit safer, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like entrepreneurs that go out on their own, or go out in partnerships or whatever, they're willing to take that risk if they're, you know, realistic and they've thought about it. So yeah, getting financing, like, you know, I can tell you right now, we've spoken to a lot of lending and financial institutions. Gyms are basically the highest risk category right now. Gyms, events, probably restaurants. What else could you think of that's maybe high risk?
I guess travel or some shit.
But yeah, travel.
I mean, gyms are right up there. Like, I think for the next 12, 24 months, it is going to be much, much more difficult than you previously thought to get financing for your gyms.
Yeah.
If you get it, you're probably going to pay more. Banks are going to be, you know, less willing to rent for you. I think gyms already were tough to get financing for because they often have less experienced operators and stuff like that, you know. And
less established industry.
Yeah, exactly. And then now with COVID and they've seen how hard they've got hit, it's triple.
Yeah.
Five times. It's just, they're just looking to lend to other people right now. Because even though you might say, you know, the vaccine's on its way, they're just playing it safe here.
Yeah.
They don't know what's coming around the corner, what mutation is coming next. So I think this will linger for a while. I think there's at least another 2 years where the financing for gyms won't really start to just go back to how it used to be. And then also, I think you got to consider if you're already running a gym and you maybe look to expand, open a second one, then you've also got to be really ready for the banks as well. You know, you can't minimize your profit as much as possible, but then also go and get a loan. Those two things are not, they're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
They're opposites.
Yeah.
So you've got to also be ready, you know, look ahead if you're going to need financing and get yourself as ready as possible for that. And that will set you up for success. But I would be really realistic if you are looking for financing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And be prepared to be disappointed many, many times. Okay. So number nine is cleaning. Now, Greg Glassman famously said when he first started CrossFit that your coaches are coaches, not cleaners. So don't make them clean. And I chose to ignore that information, but he was right. Coaches don't like cleaning. I mean, they like cleaning up after themselves. So like, hey, let's spray and wipe down some equipment. Let's put the equipment away, blah, blah, blah. But do they want to be with mop, bucket, soap, vacuum cleaner? No, they don't want to do that. I don't care even if they're good at it. It is not a fun feeling finishing the last session of the day and then having to go into the cleaning room and start cleaning the gym. That's just not what you got into coaching to do. And I'm still disappointed in coaches and gyms that do that. They think it's a necessary part, you know? It's that All Blacks thing. What's the All Blacks saying? It's like...
clean the sheds?
Yeah, something like that. It's like, I get it. I get the mentality, but a professional institution that needs to be cleaned properly, especially with the virus going around these days.
Well, it's like the All Blacks, right? They clean up after themselves and then cleaners come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they don't go
the professionals.
Vacuum everything. Yeah, they're like, cool. We're not too good to put our gear away.
Yeah, 100%.
And to like put the rugby balls back. But they're not like...
they don't bring out the mops and start scrubbing and then spraying.
Yeah, and clean the walls and stuff and disinfect everything. No, and then like scrub the toilets and shit. No, that's that's not the coach's job. And if you're getting your coaches to do that to save money, you're going to lose your coaches long term. If they get... I could walk into some gyms. If I see a coach mopping furiously every single day and I know they don't like it and the vacuuming and... the business owner is different, but the staff... I say, hey, I'm going to offer you the same salary. You never have to touch a mop ever again in your life. Like, cool, where do I sign up?
Yeah, it's also usually not the most cost-effective way because generally coaches cost more than cleaners.
Yeah.
So it usually doesn't make sense as well.
Yeah, so you need to build cleaning into the budget. Mm. Cleaning products, cleaners. You can find cleaners and work out a really good deal. They're not. We've got a full-time cleaner, so it's one of the best things you can do for your coaches. So they can just shut the door every day and they just know it's going to be fully cleaned overnight. It's the best thing you can do for your gym. Okay, last thing, and probably the most important, of course, number 10, is that you need to be prepared, in case you didn't gather it already from what we've talked about, you need to be prepared to wear every single hat in the gym when you start.
Yeah, this is critical at the very early days because, you know, I guess it might be different if you come in with a huge budget and you've already got staff on full time, but that's not most people that come into it.
That'd be like a franchise.
Yeah, but even if you're there, you're still often having to set up systems and get to know every single hat from the outset, right? So you can have it done the way you want it. But most likely, the very early days, you are running way, way more of the hats. And then as the business gets more mature, you can start to pull things back and get support with it. But it does mean that, yeah, your focus has got to be good. You just got to be really, really on your game and be ready to be managing a bunch of spinning plates in the very early days. And obviously that's going to lead to mistakes, but you just got to be really on your game because you can't just hand off 7 different roles when you first start. If you haven't set up the teams, don't have a budget for it, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you can try and ride out, and it's like, again, it's one of those, if you don't know what you don't know, which is why obviously having mentors like MP can fast track this whole process and save you a fuckload of money and headaches and potentially bankruptcy. But if you can't afford something like that and you don't believe in this sort of stuff and you want to just go to a friend that owns a gym and get them to write out every single task that is completed in the gyms. And then you'll realize, okay, this is the mountain of stuff that will fall on my plate. The worst part is you're like, okay, I think I've done everything today. And you're like, oh shit, I didn't post on social media. Or like, oh shit, I didn't clean, right? Or I didn't pay the tax man. Or all these different things. So you can look at, okay, out of all these things, what am I good at? What will I stick at with the longest? And then which of these things is my first amount of money that I make, which is going to go to hiring someone to do these things. So, because they all need to get done. Someone's got to do them. And it's going to fall on you if you're not ready to do those things. So, ready or not, those things are coming. So, make sure you are fully open-eyed and aware of all the stuff that is coming to you. So, hopefully that was helpful, guys. We'll run through them all again. But remember, this is no easy task in 2021. It's not like it used to be anymore. Things are difficult. And I think, yeah, a lot of people are just not really aware of the stuff that they have to do and what's coming. And so it's a full-on business. You need to be business owner ready to take this on. You can't just be a coach or a PT opening a gym. So to cover it off again, 10 things you didn't expect when opening gym 2021. First thing is your certification process. So your council, your development application, architect certifies, all the costs associated with that. 2, building your salary into your business model and paying yourself from the beginning. 3, some sort of hired gun CFO or accountant or the skills themselves that you'll need that go into your business modeling. 4 is noise complaints. 5 is all the tech that you'll need. 6 is your sales skills. 7, adding 50% minimum to your bill costs. 8 is getting financing for gyms. It's become a lot harder. 9 is your cleaning, and 10 is being prepared to wear every single hat in the gym in the beginning. Anything you feel like we missed?
No, man. Just maybe, yeah, cut out your social life. Cut out your Netflix.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be busy.
Yeah, but maintain your training because no one likes a fat gymmer. All right, guys, there you have it. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Hopefully that was helpful and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.